Blog Talk Radio.
Elvis Costello bringing us in, huh? Pump it up, people. Bring it, bring it, bring it. Ooh, hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Happy Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, it's Bridal Body Shop Day, right? Isn't that we anointed it last
Isn't
week?
Isn't that a great day? Isn't that a great day?
That's what it is. It is officially. And it really should be a holiday, an actual state holiday. Ultimate Side will be suspended on Bridal Body Shop Show Day. How about
Laurie
that?
Towers and Elite Ziegelman are walking the streets.
At your service, I am Laurie Towers, Elite Ziegelman, the voice
am
on
I?
The other end. And collectively, we're the Bridal Body Shop. And welcome back to our show. We're back every Wednesday, same bat time. Same bat station. Wow. Audience is getting bigger, huh? How about that? Didn't even know that happened. What did we do last night, Elite?
What did we do last night? We went to, I met you.
Yeah.
In Manhattan. Manhattan. And who did we meet?
We had such a nice night. We met, in fact, she will be a guest on our show, hopefully in a couple of weeks. A veteran of stage and film, Concetta Torme, joined us for dinner, and we had Elite's lovely daughter with us. And we ate in this, and I'm gonna give a plug. It's a glorified pizza place, but it is just the most charming that I've ever been to. It's in Hell's Kitchen. The Hell's Kitchen is very different than Hell's Kitchen that you heard about years ago. It's called Uncle Mario's Pizza. And it is by far the coolest place that I've eaten in a while. And the food is great. You thought the food was great, right, Elite?
Oh, definitely. I love the family atmosphere. Very family atmosphere.
It was. And the pizza was great. Elite and I had salmon, and it was actually far better than I even expected. It was really delicious. But what really made this entire evening, in addition to the lovely Concetta Tome, the waitress, Carmela, who Elite and I thought that she was the owner for a good part of the evening because of the way she handled everything. She worked this place as if it were her own. She literally would go out.
It was like her kitchen. Come into my kitchen.
It was. She went out into the street and she got people to come in. This woman was like that charming, and she pulled the people in off the street, and people just passing by, and she just come in, I try some pizza, and she was just lovely.
It was like a family of seven.
It really was.
Came in.
Remember?
Kissing hello. They've known him for forever.
Everybody's a paisan at Uncle Mario's, right? Mm-hmm. It was just great. So I definitely endorse that place. Go down and have a slice and say hi to Carmela. She's just the most lovely woman. And the wine kept pouring last night. And she was just so on top of everything and everybody, not just us. But she just made the night a memorable one on 9th Avenue and 50th Street, right on the corner. It's Uncle Mario's Pizza, and that's where we were. And we shall go again. We shall dine there again. What say you, Elite? Would you dine there again?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely go there in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Like I said, I love the whole atmosphere, I feel. Very family-oriented. I felt like I was in her kitchen.
Mm, exactly.
And she cooked all the food.
I'm surprised she didn't take credit for it.
Well, maybe she did under her breath. Oh,
we know.
After we left. We don't know what happened after we left. But today's show, we are going to have our Chew the Fat segment, in which we are going to dissect all the fitness myths and theories that are out there that we find.
And there's a lot of them.
There's a lot. We could have like four weeks of shows with just that alone.
Just of that.
Because we're going to run over. And because I don't want to run over today because our special guest, the second half hour, is Gwen Laster, who is a yoga practitioner. But in addition to that, she is, I'm going to say, I know her personally, she's a brilliant string player. She's just a wonderful violinist who has played with the likes of, now listen to this, Elite, Aretha Franklin, Alicia Keys, Shaggy. She's played with Rihanna.
Wow.
She played with the Philharmonic. And she also, I think I even told you, she was on, she played the neighborhood ball for the inauguration years back.
Wow.
Yeah, she played with Shakira. So, yeah, so in addition to everything she does musically, and she's got, I think, about 4 CDs out now, she has a thriving yoga practice in the Hudson Valley.
You've told
me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring Gwendolyn on with us in the second half hour, so we're looking forward to talking to her.
Definitely.
But business at hand, my dear, is the fitness myths that are out there. And what Elite did last week, which was brilliant, is we have the initials, the Bridal Body Shop. Sometimes we just go by BBS. And, well, actually, it's TBBS, but whatever. We usually say BBS.
Yeah, but Zara is not.
Right,
really.
BBS. So what we decided we're gonna give a little bit of a slant on those letters, and it's going to be that we're
busting the.
Oh, we should have done it. Okay, now wait a second. Okay, see, this is what happens when I let you lead. Okay, you're gonna scratch that. Nobody heard that.
Well, let me try again.
Nobody heard that. What we're going to be doing is, our new thing is going to be, we're not just BBS, the Bridal Body Shop. It's going to be because we bust the bullshit.
Ooh,
there
you said it anyway.
I said it low. But that was a lot closer than what you did.
But you get the drift, don't you guys? You get it? You get it?
Yeah.
We're busting
it. There we go.
I heard that.
Yeah. But that's what we're doing. So, and that's what
thank you. They like that.
They appreciated that, the lengths we go to. But that's basically what we're going to be doing. And not that,
we basically tell the truth, set the matter straight.
And the thing is, it's just a matter of, the public could be very easily misled because there's so many different things to listen to, and everything seems to make sense to the novice. But truthfully, all the theories, and we're getting emails already, that sound you hear are emails coming in. People know we're on the air and they're asking us questions. How about that?
That's
so I'm going to give the number 2.
That's something.
If you want to talk to us live and in person, you could call us at 347-857-1867.
Repeat that again.
Call. I'm going to. 347-857-1867. Give us a call or email us at thebridalbodyshop@aol.com. And what I'd like to do, and I think this is going to be a good lead-in for our topic, we actually get emails during the week, even if we're not on the air. And what we do is we compile them and we read them on the air. And this one came from Madeline last week, and she said that she's been working with a personal trainer for about 6 months, and she's following the advice to the letter, and she's seen no visible results in anything.
Well, she's got to follow to the T, not just to the letter.
Well, that's it. Well, she wasn't specific as to what letter, but
well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm
going to
email her later because it makes a difference. A T or an R, it makes a world of difference. So
she sees no results.
She says, "So and I'm gonna tackle this first, and then
you go ahead.
I'm gonna let you digest what I say before you say what you say.
Okay.
I'm gonna say that, not knowing Madeline personally, and I'm just getting what she's feeding at the face value. You cannot be doing everything you're supposed to be doing if you're seeing nothing. And what I mean by that is it is nearly impossible. If you are following the train, if you have a trainer even two, three times a week, and you are doing everything you need to in the gym and cardio on your own and dieting and everything that you need to do as far as intake on your own, and you're still not seeing results, guess what? Most likely it's you. And I'm going to follow this up with the statement of people don't think that when we as trainers will ask people to write down everything they eat during the day, we also mean everything you put in your mouth. We're including the snacks too, because the snacks are caloric. So if you think that, well, I had a couple of pieces of hard candy, if you're thinking that doesn't count, it does.
Each piece is 30 calories.
And this is where people think, we mean what we say by putting making a list of what you're putting in your mouth. And a piece of gum, it counts. So if you add up everything realistically, and I'm going to underline this word honestly, you will see that there probably were 400 calories that were not accounted for during your day when you said you were doing everything that the trainer said. And I know this from years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is people will say, oh, but it was just a couple of sips of soda. Okay.
Yeah.
That might be 70
everything
calories
adds
right
up.
There.
It adds up.
So if you're going, if your waking hours are from, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, if you write down everything that you put in your mouth, from that point on, I guarantee you, you're going to be surprised at how much you left out. And once those things are subtracted, you're going to see all of a sudden the weight is going to come off. And that's why I'm saying if you're doing everything in the gym, you're not doing something at home. And that's what I found to be, and I don't make blanket statements, but it's across the board. In my years of training, that's what I've seen. Elite, what say you?
There's nothing what say me, because everything you said is true. I mean, they just have to count the calories, because every little, like you said, every hard candy is 30 extra calories. And me, I love my hard candies. And I know at least I have 200 calories a day just on that.
Did you? Really?
I mean, I do. You see me, the way I pop my nibs and the way I do my lifesavers and stuff like that. It adds up, and that's 200 calories. That's like, you know, a little salad and a yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize it really adds up quickly. So you really do need to write down everything you put in the mouth every day, every minute of the day.
And when you think about it, it's 200 calories that's not going to be well spent. I mean, you know, you could actually
empty calories. They're empty calories. Even if you have a glass of wine, and if it's 6 ounces, it's 90 calories. That's just white wine. 90 calories is 90 calories, and you're drinking it. You're not even feeling it.
And I think that's a misconception, too. People think that it's a drink. It's not solid. If it's not solid, it's not caloric. But yes, it is.
That's the lowest of the caloric of the drinking. Then you got the beer, and then you got the martinis and all
these.
Well,
cocktails, too.
Oh, they're
so
very
high
in calories. Very high in calories.
And again, we're not saying don't have these things and don't live your life. But
moderation.
We're saying if, you know, you have to be honest, because most people will say it's a trainer's fault. And the trainer has access to you for maybe an hour a week or an hour session that you're with him or her. They can't follow you around. The rest is, you know, you have to be on your honor. You can't, you know, expect to see a visible difference and expect that one person can do this for you in just 3 hours that you give them a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joint effort, and it's really up to you. So that's what we're saying.
It's true. It's very true.
Are you saying that too?
It's funny because I put a picture up on Facebook last week. It was the Cookie Monster in bed.
I saw that. Yeah.
And what it said, the caption was, it must be my trainer's fault. I can't lose weight. Okay.
Exactly.
And you know how many replies I got from that? Because they say, oh, that's me. And I know who I put it up there for, because one of my clients, and he eats, and he says he can't, you know, lose a pound. But you can't just work out and not be on a diet. It's 50-50 no matter what. 50-50.
What do we always say? You can't out-train a bad diet.
You can't. You really can't. You can't just, you know, work out and expect to lose weight that way. It's impossible. Totally impossible.
Now let's get into the theory bashing. Now the one thing that I found to be consistent over the years, because you can't really broad stroke it, because everybody comes from a different genetic background, a different genetic makeup. So what works for myself might not work for Elite and vice versa. But the one principle that I'm not a huge fan of Joe Weider's, but the one principle that I do like that he had, and I've applied over the year, and I think you know what I'm going to say, Elite, it's muscle confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that I know for a fact works across the board. And it's basically, you know, your body acclimates to certain moves and certain things that you do. And usually it's a defensive mechanism. So it makes your body ready for when you do it the next time. That's basically what your body's doing. So when you're working out, you know, you have a certain movement that your body gets used to. So it fails to recognize it as a difference, and it's already acclimated to it. So you see no progress. So whether it's mass building or anything else you're trying to achieve, you're not going for it because your body's used to it. So basically,
also, when you reach a plateau, your body
right.
just stands still. As
that's
it
exactly
is.
Right. That's it. And that's your body's naturally way of handling a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, wants a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
It's telling you, all right, let's try something new.
Well, but that's, like I said, it's also like a defense. It's just your body is getting you ready for, okay, now we've taken care of that. But the best way to approach any exercise is, I know I change my program around like every week just because, and even mentally I get bored.
Oh, because you're doing it for so long.
Yeah, and when you lose the excitement of it, there's very little that you get out of the movement. So we try to mix it up as much as we can. I mean, like I said, I'll take my workout apart every week. And it just gives me a better pump anyway. I mean mentally, it makes me feel better about going in and doing what I need to do. So that's the theory that I will say is probably the best. And I think anybody would agree with that.
Well, let's take it to our topic, which is muscle confusion, which they made a new version of that is P90X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Joe Weed is from years ago. That's when we
yeah.
grew up in the
mm-hmm.
workout, you know, times. Now it's, you know, the news P90X, and they tell you that's muscle confusion in the new way. And the misconception is it's all the same stuff.
It really is.
It really is. It's just how you, you know, market it and how you go about it and how you place the exercise in different ways, different days. It's just... it's all the same.
What was
really.
The other one that we saw the other day that I said, well, this is P90X. It was something new. It wasn't TAP. What was it? And I pointed it out to you, and I said, you know what, this is still P90X. And I forgot what it was, and that goes to show you how it's become really like one bleeds right into the other.
Yeah, it's all the same
yeah.
stuff. It's all the same
but,
stuff.
But that's the thing. The public needs to think there's something different, and this is it. And this is
everybody
what's
has
gonna...
their own gimmick.
Right.
Everybody has their own gimmick. How many times we watch that show, okay, and we see the guy bring on a different instructor doing the same thing but actually claiming this is going to work, the others are not going to work.
Well, that's what we saw in Dr. Oz.
Well, I didn't want to say the name, but...
Well, we can say the name. Well, nobody's really listening to our little radio show.
Oh, boy.
But if you are...
Well,
tomorrow
we're
going to
get penalized.
If you are, David Hernandez is my attorney, and you could reach Matt. I don't want to hear you. Wake him up. He's doing nothing over there. Give him somebody to talk to.
No, but again, you know, every day he's got a different instructor, so...
Right.
That if you need to lose the bottom heaviness of yourself, you need to do these certain exercises, which is the same thing as doing squats and lunges and
mm-hmm.
anything that works the lower body. What makes their program different than any other thing that's been around for years? It's how you market it in a different way.
Well, you know, and I'm going to say this too. I'm going to say the public is just as much to blame because if we got it the first time, there wouldn't be the need for these imposters to come in, and that's really it. We want the magic bullet. We want it to be, okay, this one failed me, so now this one is going to be the one that does it. This is going to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is, and that's why the fitness industry is a bit, and we're part of it, and we're not knocking it. We love it, but it's a billion-dollar industry that's based on recycling.
It just makes more and more different monies in different ways with different strategies of just putting the same thing out there all the time. It's the same thing.
Well, you and I have had this discussion on the air and off about around the holidays. When you walk past people's garbage, you'll see boxes of workout equipment for all these people that are embarking on New Year's resolutions. And you never see anybody look different. It's not like people are going out and buying these equipment and you just look at the public is just... there's a large margin of difference in how they look because of this. Everybody generally looks the same. You know, I've seen no shift in people on the body looking a certain, people on the beach looking a certain way in the summer. I haven't. So these things end up something dusty in the attic or bedroom or a coat rack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's pretty much it. So I'm going to say it's really the public too. You know, there's a seller for every buyer. So
it's true. It's very true.
But in saying that, if you're getting ready for your wedding, Ali, because that's really what the show is about too.
Oh, that's what we're about.
That's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
So we reach out to
everybody. Give out some information on that.
I'm going to give you information on the Bride and Body Shop. If you go to The Knot, we're also partnering with The Knot. If you go to their page, you will see us as the featured vendors. And we have our videos up there. We're working on getting our exercises up there, too. We have a video library of like 900 exercises that you will be able to have access to. And all our information is up there. But you can even go to our website, www.thebridalbodyshop@aol.com, and you could find out all this information live and in person. And go to our Facebook page and like us on Facebook. And the name is, what is our Facebook?
The Bridal Body Shop.
There you go. See, I wanted to see if you're looking at me. Why am I saying it all the time?
Is that a tricky question?
Well, because I want to know that you're part of this business, Elise. I want to make sure that you're on top of it with me.
Of course I'm on
top
of it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just checking on you, buddy. Just making sure you're with me. Nothing wrong with that. But like I said, for brides getting ready for the wedding, we can't make anything more accommodating for you. Our prices, I'm going to say, are so fair. We work within your budget. We work within your time frame. We hired more trainers the other day, too. So as business increases, so do our need for trainers. And we're right on top of that. And we will have the trainers come to you. We have a lot of trainers that actually have their own studios. And you could train. And so many people, Lee, love the fact that the trainers have like a little intimate studio.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. I have my own.
Yeah.
And it's just one-on-one that people love. They're not intimidated walking into a
exactly.
gym and everybody watching them or, you know, anything like that. They love it.
Because
it's their own time.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, I mean, some people, and I have to say there's some people that just do well with other people around them. They thrive in other people's energy. But for the most part, people do, especially it's such a high anxiety time in your life. And you just really want it to be about you and you want to focus. And if you're not focused, you don't want to be on the spotlight. So,
but I don't understand why they make it so high anxiety on themselves. I mean, you should not be anxious working out. It does the opposite for you. It makes you less anxious.
Well, you know what it is? Because most of them, and you know the numbers that we get, most of them are coming in last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have bought their dresses maybe last year, and their weight has shifted.
Well, that's different. I totally. But the anxiousness is coming from their wedding day.
Right.
That's the coming last minute is their own fault.
Right.
Know?
But also now it's do or die.
Right.
Now mm-hmm. okay. Now if I don't get the weight off in 2 months, you know, and that's really it. So everything is down to the wire. And that's what we don't want. We don't like when brides come in and they want to lose 45 pounds.
They should give themselves at least 6 months to a year
of
leeway. You know, even if they want to like mess up a little, they'll still have time to fix it up down the road.
And see, a lot of them will come in and say, well, you know what, I wanted to wait till the last minute. This way I look perfect on my wedding. Don't do it that way.
No. It's the worst thing to do.
No. That's the way I look at that is when, like they tell you, don't get a radical haircut before a big event.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Because it might look great, but if it doesn't, you know, it's there's no turning back. So that's what we're saying. But getting back to what we do, we offer virtual training, which means you have access to our website and our videos and We'll be getting Skype in a couple of weeks. We're going to hook that up. So you'll be able to contact us 24/7. And, you know, even if you don't see us live and in person, we're an email or phone call away. And
mm-hmm.
our phone number
very
at the Bridal Body Shop is 212-460-1879. And you could just call us there day or night. Well, we won't answer. But you could leave a message day or night.
We'll
get back to you.
Back.
we get back to you in as short a time as possible as we can. But, you know, as, you know, we reach a lot of listeners, we get a lot of emails, so we get back to you as quickly as we can. And so, and if we don't, you know, just bear with us, we will. So.
We're always out to help.
We're here to help. We're here to help.
Definitely.
What are we, Elise? We are the warriors in the war of fitness. Huh?
That's right.
How about that?
And we're busting the...
Yes. There you go.
I
okay,
did it.
You know
I
what?
Did it.
You know
I
what?
Did it.
No, you didn't. You really didn't. And we're going to... You have to... You wait, now watch. Now you're going to see the difference, listening audience. Watch this. Yeah, you have to say... The minute you say boom, you hit that button.
I did.
Okay, well, I don't know. I wasn't impressed.
If anybody's listening to me, call in and tell me how it sounded. Okay?
Okay. Now the switchboard is going to light up. Lori's being mean to you.
Oh, somebody actually just did call in.
Okay. Is that the lovely Gwen Laster on the line?
I don't know. It could be. But it's a 718 number.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now on the line, we have Gwen Laster. And we'd like to welcome her to the Bridal Body Shop show, Elite Let Loose.
She's on, baby.
Gwen.
Hey.
How are you, Gwen?
Hello.
Hello. Wonderful. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful.
Great.
So happy. Thank you for taking the time to be on our show, Gwen.
Thank you for having me, and congratulations on this
Thank
endeavor.
You so much.
I know it's been quite an interesting path.
Yeah. It's been something. We're still deciding what it is.
Something and something.
Yeah. But now, Gwen, you have your practice in the Hudson Valley primarily now. Are you going to be coming down to New York at any point and expanding your yoga practice down there?
I'm always there's always the possibility of welcoming my to a venue, and there are venues. I'd like to connect this with professional musicians, as I'm a professional musician myself. So I've got some feelers out with our local musicians union, Local 802. As well as I'm really also quite interested in sharing my yoga practice with women who have come from physically or mentally abused situations.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was once my path a while ago. So I feel like yoga is a way to connect with yourself and lift your self-esteem. So there are some of my yoga colleagues who have connections for me in that area. So I'd love to come down to New York City to bring my practice to that community.
Mm. Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm sure you have a lot to say on this. Why did you get started in yoga? I think that's what I want to ask you.
Yeah, I really got started in yoga just for physical reasons. Felt good on my body. I love stretching. I've always been kind of a gym rat. Starting off jogging and getting into lifting weights and a little amateur bodybuilding. And even through those experiences, I always had the need to stretch my body. So I got into yoga for physical reasons. And as I began to continue to learn about it, I started becoming real interested in the philosophy of yoga and how it kind of connected to improving my life and just kind of looking at different aspects of what was going on with myself. So it was a win-win. It was a great physical practice for me, and it was also a great kind of an emotional practice for me. And somewhere down the line, I had some moderately severe shoulder injuries as a musician, as a violinist. And I have to say that the combination of yoga, which became the real, real love of my life, and Pilates, those two mm-hmm. things together helped me to heal my shoulder. So I just both of them going with a focus on the yoga.
No, because she actually did. I know Gwen personally, and she did have shoulder problems because she's been playing the violin, and it's
mm-hmm.
a one sided.
Sure.
And
I can see that,
and,
definitely.
Yeah. And it's certainly
yeah. And this
really
repaired
horrible.
Your this repaired it. This repaired your injury. Yoga?
Yeah, along with other things, it was what we call adhesive cactus.
Mm-hmm.
It was a frozen shoulder. Which is the nickname for it. It was around the joints of my mobility. So the yoga, the stretching, along with acupuncture, along with Pilates, along with relieving stress, and carrying around New York City much lighter instrument, all that stuff. So I kind of involved that. Gave me more mobility now than I've ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know,
and
it's funny.
Of course, I had to redo my whole practice strategy of, you know, my alignment with my instrument and how
exactly.
I
approach mm-hmm. sure.
the habit that was part of causing the physical malfunction of my body. So, yeah.
Now, how much did you have to do as far as the transition to your instrument, Gwen? Because I was always curious about that. Was there a lot that you had to redo?
I actually had to start really basic scales, and I was also practicing with cotton balls in between my fingers so that we could stop all of the stress that was emanating from the neck all the
mm-hmm.
way down through the shoulders, you know, through the traps, through the shoulders, extending all the way down into the bicep,
mm-hmm.
all the way, you know, just the whole scapula, you know, that whole area was totally, totally out of line and tight and frozen. So, invent my whole direction of energy
mm-hmm.
and how I use
mm-hmm.
my fingers. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody who plays an instrument, and you're playing for like, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours at a shot, especially, and Gwen does some Broadway work, if you're in pain, those 2 hours are just like the worst thing in the world. Absolutely.
I can just imagine. And shoulder pain is not easy either because it's always in motion. Always in motion.
Exactly. Yeah, you guys know.
Oh,
yeah.
About that repetitive small muscle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No matter what you do, you're always moving it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now let me ask you, what did you decide to become certified? Because, you know, I know a lot of people that go for one or two classes and they teach yoga, and I'm not going to name names. So why did you decide to become certified?
Actually, I had no intention of teaching yoga. I just wanted to learn. I wanted to just learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole philosophy, I wanted to bring myself to a higher place. I wanted to kind of be more transparent about what my belief system is
mm-hmm.
is about for myself. I wanted to not only get the physical practice. I mean, obviously, I love the physical part of it, but I was just intrigued from class to class and studying with different people and taking different classes. What is this all about? How does this really
mm-hmm.
connect to my life? How does it connect to myself? How does it connect to what I do, who I am, what I want to do? And as I finished the certification, it was a one-year certification program.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it was a 200-hour certification,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, the beginning level for most yoga teachers. I'm not sure. I think this is what at least you have to do is at least a 200-hour certification.
Okay.
Right at the end of that, there's an in my gym, in Gold's Gym, and at first I didn't feel prepared to do it, but I did it, and I'm mm-hmm. happy that I did it because it kind of kept me in that zone, and it kept me thinking
yeah.
about it, and
mm-hmm.
it kept me applying those principles to my life.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you know, and it's funny because I know Gwen quite a few years now, and I've watched her become excited by this, and more and more and more and more, and it became part
mm-hmm.
of who she is. You know, first it was just part of a casual conversation because usually we talk about other things in music, but then it became a dominant force, and that's great. And now she's got a thriving little business. Now you're in. Where are you upstate for people who want to come? And you are taking classes and individual students, right?
Yes, yes. I'm in Cold Spring, and the name of the studio is called Sky Baby. And Sky Baby, and it's a one and a half block walks from the train, Metro North, Cold Spring. You walk right on Main Street, and you're right at Sky Baby, and it's a book studio at the top of a huge old building, and classes will, I'm going to have a Wednesday morning class.
It's going to be nice.
9:15 Wednesday mornings beginning in June. And the class is kind of a combination of Hatha Vinyasa. So, of course, So it's a moving class. It moves, it flows, it breathes. We find our breath. We connect to our breath. But we also connect with the sun, the natural elements, the sun, the moon. So, I also play live violin at the end for the shavasana.
I'm not gonna honk her horn or play her violin, but I'm gonna say that. If anybody has just a chance to hear this woman play, I mean, I don't do yoga, but I would sit in the class just to hear her play.
Yeah.
You're in for a treat. So if you're interested in yoga or not, so just go and see what the class is about. But listen to this lady play because she's really phenomenal.
And
absolutely,
I love violin.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's just great.
I love the violin.
Thank
you. So soothing. And it goes, you know, that's going to be my next question. How is yoga connects with your music? Because yoga is so soothing, and I think the violin is so soothing. Do you connect that way?
For me, because I write original music as well, it kind of connects with the idea of being transparent and just
mm-hmm.
writing from a place of wherever I am. Now, I think that aspect of yoga is probably more philosophical, but
mm-hmm.
that kind of branches or lends itself to the whole idea of how yoga has helped several aspects of what I do or of what we are. It's kind of changed my perspective on eating and food and working out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of made me come to a place of just being balanced and
mm-hmm.
moderation. And particularly when I go and take classes that are really intermediate and advanced, and you look over at the mat and somebody's like flying across the room, and you get pretty about that, and so what I've learned is just to kind of be who you are, challenge yourself, push yourself, but you can't push yourself beyond what you don't already have. So it's given me really a sense of being grounded and a sense of honesty about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that all connects to my music.
Well, I can see that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Gwen, what I really like what you said before is contacting the musicians out there and people that work in the pit, Elite, are just unbelievably, I mean, you become part of your instrument,
mm-hmm.
and every instrument that you play has some sort of consequence. Violin is shoulder and neck, piano pretty much the same
thing. Oh, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
And I love the fact that you're going to go after all these musicians who definitely would benefit from this.
Yes, exactly. It's great to be, I can't tell you how many of my colleagues that have been, you know, we've all been in the game for at least 20 years now, here
mm-hmm.
on Broadway, You've got to, you got to know what you. I can't tell you how many people I see with, just all of the tightness and the traps and in the shoulders and the carpal tunnel disease and people have
off
and not play at all and you know, I just like to have a way where I can reach out to people and at least share with them ideas on even on the 15-minute intermissions to just do some nice shoulder stretches. I mean, not anything exotic where you got to have a yoga mat and lay out and go into some headstands or any inversions or anything like that, but just something you can do on your own, on your own time as you're standing there talking, just pulling the shoulder blades back and down and tucking your tailbone under and lengthening your spine and being aware, bring awareness to your lower back and from sitting in chairs. And so I'm hoping to be able to share that with my friends and my colleagues who are professionals on and off Broadway and that do gigs in and around anywhere, you know. So so that's my goal. That's part
There's
of,
no better stretch than yoga, right?
And I think it's good. I mean, if you do, if I would love if you got like a mass email going to Local 8 too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be incredible.
That'd be wonderful.
That's a great idea. Hey, I'm gonna go to local. I'm gonna be rehearsing at Local 802 tomorrow. I think I'll go talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's the head there now, but I mean, that would be definitely the way to go, and we'll offer a 20% discount to their members, and blah 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 blah. There you go. But I mean, also if you're also, you know, offering like a 15-minute, like, you know, little demonstration in the pits, you could use that towards getting them for a bigger session.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got to give you guys finder's fees, right?
Oh, honey, we're going to talk about that off the air. Remember your friends. But no, I think that's a great idea. And let me ask you about the because it's very, I've worked with women that were in shelters and so on and so forth and physically, beaten. How is that working for you? Because that's a hard population to reach as far as touch is concerned.
As far as touch is concerned.
How has that
been? Well, I think if I'm understanding it, if I'm hearing you clearly, you're saying, how do I reach out and find women who are in this situation and who would be open to interestingly enough, I have a couple of friends, a couple of colleagues who are teaching yoga to battered women.
Yeah.
So I'm reaching out to them to find out, well, hey, where are these places? Where are other places that I can offer my services and help to lift their self-esteem? And I mean, you know, there's a real connection here to opening up your emotions and what asanas or what poses that you breathe into your body. I mean, you know, when I teach a yoga class and at the end of class, and you know, sometimes most of the time I'll do like a Dharma talk and just talk about what the intention of the practice is for the day. And I know I've taught a good class, and at the end, you know, like some people are crying.
And you know,
so that means that, you know, that means they're really being touched and they're really trying to open up. So that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. That's really it. And, you know, with battered women especially, it's there's a level of physical disconnect that they have to their body just as defense, just as their armor. So I know when I've worked with them, it's a trust issue, and it takes a while. It takes a while for them to even want to become part of their body again, because this is a thing that is hurt and is used against them, and to establish the trust with the practitioner. So that's, I mean, but it's so rewarding. It's so absolutely rewarding. So God bless you for doing that. That's really good stuff. Now let me ask you another question. That's for you, Gwen. That's a little for you. Okay. How has yoga changed your perspective on eating and food? Because I know we've had discussions about this in the past.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
This thing that there becomes this pull for you to practice moderation. And I mentioned it just a few minutes ago about moderation. And there becomes this pull to take care of your body, and there becomes this thing about knowing your body. And
mm-hmm.
everybody knows it. Who's, you know, you guys are athletes. I mean, you know, you work out and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you know that it's all about connecting to your body. So
mm-hmm.
once you start thinking about that, and you, well, heck, what am I putting in my body?
Yeah,
and
sure.
How much do I need to put in my body? And do I really need that right now? And how much of that do I need? So, that's kind of how it's, and it's not, I mean, there are some yoga practices out here. There are some schools of yoga that say, you know, have really rigid beliefs about what you should eat and you shouldn't eat this. And I'm not really talking about that. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
whatever it is you do choose to eat,
mm-hmm.
whatever your food theories are all about,
mm-hmm.
that you you manifest those beliefs in moderation. So just reading about different aspects of what yoga is about in general has affected how I want to eat, how much I want to eat, what
mm-hmm.
I want to eat, when I want to eat, when to stop eating. So all those things. And it kind of makes you more in tune with just how your body functions. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've all had to modify our diet as we go into different phases of our life,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean,
right. Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
I mean, I certainly couldn't eat like I used to when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, so I think that mainly is the whole idea of moderation is.
And what's your diet now? You're pretty much a vegetarian, right?
Well, I guess what we call it is a pescatarian.
Yeah, that's me and you, right? Exactly.
That's
yeah,
so funny because
yeah.
you put yogis, you always affiliate them with vegetarian.
Right.
They always
yeah.
went hand in
yeah.
hand in hand.
Yeah.
I would say I get that craving and I go for it, and I like to have a nice couple of, you know, piece of fish, a nice grilled piece
mm-hmm.
of fish every couple times a week or whatever. What I have noticed, however, is that I don't digest wheat and gluten.
Well,
anymore. No, I'm not full on celiac or anything like that, but
mm-hmm.
it just tends to make me feel bloaty and heavy, and so I've kind of cut out that gluten. So
mm-hmm.
That's where I am right now.
Okay.
And it seems to be working.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how a lot of people are allergic to gluten. All
yeah.
of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it's just like anything else. There's a spotlight on something and you
right.
investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, before we
uh-huh.
let you go, I want you to plug. Now, if Gwen teaches up in Cold Spring, and anybody who doesn't know what Cold Spring is, it's really not that far on Metro North. What is it, about an hour and 15 minutes tops or less?
More even like an hour and five.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it is the cutest little town. This town is just like it's like a cutout town. It's just really small and really sweet. Nice to love to go and visit Gwen there. It's a lovely, lovely little town. So it's worth a day trip up, and certainly, you know, it's worth looking into this a little bit more. And even for crying out loud, to hear a play, you know, stand back.
That would be worth it alone.
And,
I would do
yeah,
that just for that.
That's certainly worth it. More than worth it. And I think you're going to be playing at Shapeshifter in Brooklyn. Am I wrong or? What is that going to be, Gwen?
Oh, yeah. Well, I am going to be playing in Shapeshifter on Monday night.
Monday night. Okay.
What
are you going on?
Organic, which is the improvising ensemble, or a spontaneous
cool.
improvisational ensemble with string.
Oof.
A lot of string and percussion instruments actually from the East.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's led by a percussionist who
mm-hmm.
whose original music we perform, and it's different every single week, every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It's take now, breathe, meditate, relax, de-stress you. It's a great way to just come and just be around some really good high energy music, good people. I love everybody in the group. I mean, it's just a real great gathering of musicians. So that's Monday night, May 20th at 8 o'clock. It's Shakespeare in Brooklyn mm-hmm. and Gowanus on it's Whitwell Street.
Whitwell, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's right off, it's a little hard to find. It's I think, off 4th Avenue, isn't it?
It's actually between 1st and Carroll.
Okay. Yeah, okay, Carroll Street.
It's a one-block street. It's a one-block street, and it's across mm-hmm. the street from a school there. So
right, yeah.
But it's just tons of musicians that play there, like, every night. You know, by a musician, by a bassist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a really cool place.
It's a really cool place. It's a venue.
No, that's going to be good. And anything else you want to mention before we say goodbye?
Well,
anything you want, Glenn.
Way later on, I want you guys to know that I'm bringing yoga together with music and with the kids. I do a workshop to teach string players improvisation, and that will also be at Shapeshifter on August 19th through the 24th. So it's called Creative Strings Youth Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And I use principles of yoga and meditation to bring awareness to breathing and to kind of open the channel so kids can create spontaneous music and learn how to improvise. So that will also be a Shapeshifter August 19th through the 24th, ages 6 through 18. You can email me. Should I give address? Is that okay?
Yeah, please. Anything you want.
Okay. You can email me, GwenLaster@gmail.com, and it's called Creative Strings Youth Orchestra. So there's still room to get your kid involved.
That is wonderful stuff. Good stuff, baby.
That sounds really wonderful.
Glenn Laster, fighting the good fight.
Thank you.
Good lady, honey. Good lady.
I'm
going to try to check you out at one of these gigs pretty soon, so don't worry about it.
Yes, and we'll talk soon. And congratulations again. I'm so happy
for you
guys.
Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you. And thank you for coming on, Glenn.
You're welcome.
Have a great day, babe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Honey. Okay. Bye-bye. That was Glenn Laster. A multifaceted woman, Elise. Does everything.
She sounds it. She really does sound it.
And I remember one time I was at a gig of hers, and she, you know, you're familiar with the song. It's a jazz song, Spain. And she took a solo in this song. I just had to stand up and watch
mm-hmm.
it. Sitting down in my seat and watching it wasn't enough for me. I had to stand up and watch this woman. Just absolutely. And I've played with her a couple of times, too.
No,
and
like I said, I love violin.
Yeah. And a more generous performer you will not find. Very, very nice to play with, too. So, now, next week's show, I think we're having somebody on.
Close friend of mine. Her name is Janice Salerno, and she's going to be talking about a class that she teaches at the BCC here on Staten Island about recovering breast cancer survivors and how she has fitness. She teaches a class on, cancer survivors,
mm-hmm.
What they can do, what they can't do. And, you know, she actually has the same ladies in the class for years. I mean, I help her out in the class. But
that's loyalty, huh?
Hopefully she'll be, filling us in with stats.
That's the stuff we like on the show.
Something interesting.
You know what? And it's a subject not for brides only. I mean, it's about health.
No. It's about fitness.
It's something, Yeah, and that's really all it's about.
Right.
So in saying that, I think we're saying goodbye, Elite, and we thank Gwen again for being on our show.
Definitely. It's been a pleasure.
And we look forward to our future guest, and we hope she will be on again. And in saying that, we will see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. And Same bad girls. See, look at you coming back now. Now you're at the end of the show.
Show's over.
Lively. It's over now. She's talking. But anyway, in saying saying that, we thank you for joining us, and we hope you see fit to make exercise a part of your life. Have a great day, people. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.